Since 1986, Rich Green Lawns has been the leading lawn fertilization company of the Jersey Shore, providing lawn fertilization, bed weed control, tick and mosquito control, as well as tree and shrub programs. Mention this ad and save 50% off your first lawn application. Call or text us today at 732-370-5963. 732-370-5963.
Welcome to Hook, Line, and Splitter, a Jersey Shore Blue Claws podcast. Hook, Line, and Splitter is presented by NJR Home Services. And now, here's your host, Greg Giamborisi.
Welcome to Hook, Line, and Splitter, a Jersey Shore Blue Claws podcast, episode 52. Good day, everybody. I'm Greg Giamborisi. Thanks so much for tuning in, and we hope you have a safe, happy, and healthy holiday season. Our guest today is Steve Potter. Many Phillies fans, especially those that follow the minor leagues, know Steve. He covers the area down in the Clearwater in the Florida Complex League and extended spring training for his website, PhilliesBaseballFan.com, which is a must-use website. Bookmark it, follow along every day, different updates. And he's in the process right now of running through notes on every player in the Phillies minor league system. He does a phenomenal job, and we're going to talk to him coming up in just a few minutes. Phillies have been busy. They signed Trey Turner. They signed Taijuan Walker, starting pitcher, who was announced at his press conference in Philadelphia earlier today. He'll wear number 99, last Philly to do that. So Taguchi, last Philly to wear number 99. So with Steve, we went through the system. A lot of guys that will be with the Blue Claws in 2023. Still Phillies are working through some staffing stuff, so we don't know who the coaching staff will be at this point. We can project some players, and we talk about a lot of those guys with Steve, and he knows them very well from his time down there. Lightstar Energy Group is a leading energy brokerage firm headquartered in New Jersey. Our goal is to provide clients with premium energy management services to lower electricity and natural gas costs and to provide a long-term energy management strategy. We pride ourselves on bringing each and every individual business the same benefits of deregulation enjoyed by universities, municipalities, and all high-volume energy users. Tailored products and contracts, lower costs, personal attention, and outstanding service. Call us today at 732-722-5880. At 732-722-5880 to learn more about Lightstar Energy Group today. So without further ado, let's get to our guest, episode 52, Hook, Line, and Splitter, a Jersey Shore Blue Claws podcast from PhilliesBaseballFan.com, Steve Potter. Every morning I get an email from our guest today, Steve Potter, with his annual Phillies minor league player notes. He goes through every player in the system, 180, 200, whatever it is, breaks it up. It's a great website, PhilliesBaseballFan.com, and we're pleased to be joined from the Clearwater area by Steve Potter today. Steve, welcome. How are you?
Oh, thank you. Good. Thanks for having me, Greg.
So how did this website, the blog, how did this start for you?
This particular site and hobby started in 2015. I had worked 32 years of corporate America life and was fortunate to retire at the age of 55. Decided to move to Clearwater simply because the Phillies were here, and then I could go over to the complex every day. And then watching the young players as they develop got in my mind that this would be really cool to share with Phillies fans. So I started writing about it. I met Joe Jordan, who was the player development director at the time, started doing some, including him and others on my notes, and it sort of mushroomed from there. Now it's a full-blown website. I initially started as a Facebook page, Phillies a Fans View, which is still active. I linked the website to that.
When you were living up here, did you go to affiliates a lot? You know, because the Phillies have been reasonably located around Philadelphia. I mean, the Phillies have been, in close proximity to Philadelphia now as a group for a while.
Yeah, well, we had been to Scranton when the team was there, been to Reading. So those are two of the primaries. I attend a lot of Phillies games. And I started writing books in 2008. I wrote a a book about the 2008 championship team, every game recapped in rhyme that season. It's called the Poetic Season. But I've always had an interest in player development, and so it's been a following of mine, you know, ever since I've been a Phillies fan.
And now, you know, with the advent of the internet and streaming and minor league baseball TV, you know, fans can be reasonably connected to the teams up here, but you provide a great resource because you connect everybody to the teams down in Florida, Clearwater and the Gulf Coast Phillies and extended spring training, where, you know, you can't watch the games. You could follow Clearwater box scores and everything, but you can't watch them. And you watch them, and you watch the GCL teams, or the whatever they call FCL teams now, and provide a great resource for everybody. And we kind of know what's on the way.
Yeah, there's not a lot of fan attendance at the backfields. It's basically myself, my wife, a fellow named Jim Payton, who writes for Future Phillies, parents, and scouts. So I mean, guys who play on the backfields early on in their careers, it's probably the toughest part of their career in the minor leagues, because it's, as you said, there's not a lot of cheering for them or you know, to push them on. It's hot. You know, those games are played at noon in the Florida heat and humidity. So we started doing that. And yes, we recap every game that we see and get to know the players, and particularly the families as well. It's where I get to know a lot of the family members that come and you know, watch their young man perform.
I imagine the players get a kick out of just having more people there, because, you know, especially the ones that came from, you know, colleges, where you might have you know, somewhat bigger crowds, but, you know, as you said, you know, it's hot and there's not a lot of energy that's provided. They got to bring it themselves, but, you know, you guys are there for them.
It's a bit of a culture shock for them. It is, you know, especially like you said, a player that may have played at a Division I school with big crowds, and then they come and the initiation of their pro career is to sit, you know, and play on these games where, I'm going to guess, I mean, a big crowd is like 20 people. You know, so, but it's also, it's fortunate for me because I get to get up close and see them. I was fortunate, for example, to witness Alec Boone's first professional hit, Bryson Stott's first professional hit, which was a home run, and we got that on video. And then when we're able to put that on, you know, social media and share that with the rest of the world.
And it's cool because, you know, good players can kind of come from anywhere, but every player will start down there. And, you know, you're providing information about some guys that many of us have never heard of, especially so the, you know, the Latin American players, where it's tougher to get information. They don't get drafted, so, you know, there's no write up on them when they get selected from the local paper, you know, that kind of thing. But, you know, but you're there. We're going to talk about some of those guys as we go through. But, you know, how's been the reaction with the Phillies people themselves? I know you said Joe Jordan kind of was great. I know you talked to Preston all the time. We had him on this a couple of weeks ago, and he was awesome. I know you get to know a lot of the coaches too. How have they been for you?
The Phillies have always been really well receiving of what I do. It's very interactive. Like I said, Joe was the first, and then, you know, Josh Bonifay, when he was in the role, and Preston came along, and Preston actually called me shortly after he got the job. And I'm looking at my phone, it says Preston Mattingly. I said, nah, no way. But yeah, he called me to introduce himself. And so, yeah, it's, we get to know the coaches, the players in particular. And so they seem to appreciate it. I mean, I everything I write on the website, I do send internally as well. So they get the emails. You're on my email chain with particular writers and the broadcast folks that do the minor league affiliate games.
When I don't even know what order to do this in, but I know the winter ball leagues are going on right now, and you've been following it. I know, and I have too. The guys down in Adelaide, in Australia, they lost this morning or tonight. in Australia, however you want to look at it. They had a 12-game winning streak. Their manager, of course, managed here, Chris Adamson, and they have, I think, seven or eight Phillies, a couple of guys that had played here. One of them was Rickson Wingrove, and I remember in May, the Blue Claws were in Wilmington, and McCarthy Tatum, who was the first baseman, broke his wrist. And the Monday after that weekend, the team is home beginning that Tuesday, and I get an email from you, and it says you're getting, I think you called him the big guy, and it was meaning Rickson, and you had not gotten to know him from down in Clearwater, and we were, you know, I was hoping to get him the year before because he and Tank, Chris Adamson, are really close because Rickson has played for Tank for 5 years in Adelaide, and then Rickson comes up here. I think he homered in his second game, maybe his first game, and then had two over the week. He had three homers in his first five games, and two of them were just, no doubt about it, missiles. And I said, I emailed you back, and I said, you weren't kidding. This guy can hit bombs, and he's playing. I think he's hitting over 300 now for those guys down there. We're rooting for the old Adelaide Giants.
Yeah, Rickson's a fun kid. He enjoys life. A quick story on him. First time
even when he was on deck, I'd be standing there taking video. And one particular game, he says, he calls me over. He says, "Mate, make sure you get this on video. This is about to be over." It was in the ninth inning. He was coming up in a tied game, and he told me he was going to end it. And true to his word, he ended the ball game. So he's just a fun kid to be around.
He had a pretty good year here. He got hurt in July, missed a little time, and then he finished out the season really strong. So we urge you guys to go follow the Adelaide Giants. They have a bunch of players that have played with the Blue Claws, and then they have a few more that I'm sure will be here over the course of the season. One of whom is a pitcher, Starlane Castillo, who was a big signing for the Phillies a couple of years ago, 2018, I believe. He got over $1 million, and he ended up having Tommy John surgery. He's working his way back, and he's pitching very well down there. They call him El Koala, a nickname that he's picked up in Australia. But what are your thoughts on him from what you've seen from Starling?
Starling's a big arm. He, like you said, he got hurt, and he spent the last year down here rehabbing. He's a very pleasant young man. You'll like him as well. He speaks really good English. He's come a long way in that regard. He can get up upper 90s when he's right, but he spins the ball like crazy. His curveball is elite spin up in the higher RPMs, almost it's in that major league range. And his issues have been sometimes he throws too many strikes and he gets hit over the plate. But in his talking a little bit with Tank, he's thrown really well in Australia the last few times out. So we're excited to get him back here stateside and see what he can do.
So there's some more guys in Australia, and we urge you to go to PhilliesBaseballFan.com, and Steve has write-ups on all those guys, and he'll do weekly winter league reports. And I think the Phillies probably have more guys there than anywhere else, but a few other guys scattered around in some of the other winter leagues. But I guess the story going into the season, or I guess even going into last season, was the Phillies' young pitching, and they lived up to the bill. And you got to see Andrew Painter, you got to see Mick Abel down there. When you saw Painter, I guess you probably saw him a little bit in his draft year, which was 2021. He only pitched six innings before going to Clearwater to start this season. Did you foresee a guy finishing the year in Double A at age 19 and talked about as, I mean, Rob Thompson basically said, if we have a youngster in the rotation in spring training, the most likely candidate is him. He will be 19 years old on opening day and is going to be given every opportunity to earn a spot in the big league rotation, which is virtually unheard of. Did you foresee such a quick rise from him?
I'd like to tell you I did, but no. I mean, the talent was very evident. It jumped out at you. I remember in spring training, I was talking with a scout. I had watched him over in Dunedin against the Blue Jays, and he was just throwing an inning over there. We struck out the side on 12 pitches, and the scout was like thoroughly impressed. He said, "No, they didn't even touch it. It was swing and miss strikeouts. I mean, it wasn't just taking pitches." Andrew's very, very talented. I mean, he's He's you know, you saw him. I mean, you saw him there, but and he moved up the ladder so quickly. I think that's one thing with Preston when he came in is they're not going to, you know, sit on a player at a particular level if they feel they've accomplished their you know, they've accomplished the level, they're quick to move them up. And I think Mr. Dombrowski, like you said, he has a history of taking younger fellows to the big leagues if they're able to do that. It's obvious Andrew has the talent to do that. So we'll see what he does in the spring.
Yeah, it'll be one of the more interesting position battles, I would think, not just in, well, certainly in Philly, but also in Major League Baseball, the possibility of a 19-year-old earning a spot in a big league rotation. I remember looking it up when he came up here, or when he was getting close to coming up here in the spring. The only pitchers that were 19 years old, starting pitchers, that the Phillies had in high A in the last 20 years were Cole Hamels and Sixto Sanchez. And they had him in double A and possibly the big league. So it's pretty incredible. And that'll be fun. And then Mick Abel, of course, who was a year ahead of him, you probably saw him a little bit more. He pitched more in Clearwater than Painter did, but Mick didn't really have that introductory season because of the COVID shutdown.
Yeah. Mick had a good season as well. I think Mick last season was a learning curve for Mick, you know, talking with him. He learned how to pitch more, sequence pitching. He sometimes he's a cerebral pitcher. He's into the data and using the data, particularly out of the stretch. I think you saw that he struggled a bit last year, but he has a major league arm too, and a major league repertoire. And to me, you know, it isn't always in the results that the stats that come out of their efforts. But I think Mick had a really good growing year last year. And I think, again, we've got the Phillies have another major league arm there that is not too far away from making that debut.
Oh, and Griff McGarry, too. How much did you see of him down there? Because he came in, he was a college player, and he was already up here by late August of his
We saw Griffin fall instructs his first year and got to chat with him a bit. That was, of course, the COVID year, so I saw him from afar. We had to be outside the gates, outside the fences, but the old handy binoculars come into play there. So yeah, we get to saw him. And even from afar, you could see the spin that he gets on his pitches. And did I lose you?
No, we're good. We're good.
You can see the spin that he gets on it. And stuff wise, you know, again, you saw he's as good as anybody. It's just a matter of him really getting the command in the strike zone. That's, you know, his big development.
I asked Preston 2 weeks ago and about him, and, you know, because they moved him to the pen at the end of last year, and I think they did that with a you know, just saying if this guy has the stuff where he might be able to help the Phillies now, if he can do the relieving thing, and we'll see. And it, you know, it didn't really work out. It was only a couple of outings, and that'll be, you know, that's fine. But I asked if they think they view him as a starter long-term. He's unequivocally yes. So he'll get every chance. He'll probably be in the AAA rotation in April.
Yeah. He's a starter, and he's got four pitches. So it's maybe down the road you look at him, but he's got starter stuff. And again, it's a good job of development and drafting, because he's another big league viable arm.
Yeah, just looking at from through the pitchers first. Who are some of the guys from the draft last year? Like Alex McFarland, who they took out of the University of Miami. Who are some of the guys that you saw in Clearwater last year that Blue Claws fans should be aware of heading into 23?
Alex is a big arm again. There's a kid, Alex Rao, that you'll get to see. Didn't get to see a lot of the draft guys, but I did. I can tell you a few of the things fellas I think are going to be Blue Claws next year that are follow the pattern of the big arm power pitcher types. There's a young man named Tommy McCollum that's been in the system for a bit.
Yeah,
he's a got a splitter, throws a Hector Neris type splitter, drops off the table, but he's also upper 90s with a fastball. So I think that he'll be up in Jersey Shore. others like power arms like Alex Garbrick. Cam Wynn is a name that maybe not many people are aware of because he was injured last year. But Cam's out of the University of Nebraska is an upper 90s velocity guy as well. And a young man I've been talking for a long time, Nicole Pena. I mean, he's legit. And Nicole is coming off Tommy John.
Yeah, he hasn't pitched in 3 years, right?
Yeah. And Nicole, again, it's a matter of minor league baseball. The big key for pitchers is to develop command and be able to throw strikes. But when he's over the plate, he's got really good stuff. I mean, it's somebody you all get excited about when you watch him out there.
It's crazy, right? All these guys now, and you just see it with – you see it here, you see it – I mean, the Astros, watch the – I mean, they're the best team in the league. But all these guys throw 95 miles – especially all the right-handers. Everybody throws 95 miles an hour now. You've been going down to all these games, you said, for, you know, a number of years. How has that changed? How much, like, what percentage of guys would you say throw 95 now, especially the right-handers, compared to when you started going down there?
I did a story about it last year. I think I went through each of the players on the minor league roster. I think we ended up with over 70 guys that could hit 95 or above at some point in their time here in the development system. It's evolved immensely. It used to be if you threw 90, 91, you're a power pitcher back when you started watching. Now you're a soft tosser. I mean, I think it's just the evolution of the game. It's the use of things like biomechanics. It's guys are just physically stronger. They work out the whole year round. The Phillies have, for example, they have ongoing camps for strength and conditioning that they bring guys into. So it's just... It's popped in the last, I'm going to say in the last 10 years, it's what you said. It's if you're not throwing 95 as a reliever, you're sort of behind the eight ball.
Jaden, forgive me, Estanista?
Yeah, Jaden, yeah.
So I was just kind of reading some of the write-ups and everyone, you can kind of tell who catches your eye in the write-up, and he seemed to be one of them from Curacao. I know the Braves have done well from there. The Phillies had, I don't think they've had, have they had anybody from Curacao? Giandino Trump was from Aruba. I don't know if they've had anybody from
I don't know Curacao. If they've had any Arubas from Curacao. I think Jaden might be the first.
Yeah.
Jaden just, when you're on the backfields watching baseball, and all the scouts get up out of their chairs, and their speed gun comes out, and they go right behind the backstop and behind the plate, and everybody's pointing the gun on him. And, you know, you perk up. And Jaden's that kid, that guy. Jaden hadn't played baseball all that long. He's a novice at it. He's only like 2-3 years in. But at the end of the summer, he was hitting mid to upper 90s. He still has to really reel in his secondaries. He slows his arm up a little bit on this curveball. But so he's a work in progress, but the arm's there and the attitude's there. And you know, he wants it. So that's the makeup of the player is something we try to observe as well. And he's another one that's a discovery. I'll tell you, one that you probably haven't heard of yet is a young man by the name of John Henriquez. It was a discovery at the Dominican Summer League this year. Walked into the academy, asked for a tryout, threw the ball 97 miles an hour in a game of a contract.
Well, that'll work.
Yeah, and we saw him. They brought him up for fall instructs. I've only seen him pitch one time. I can tell you it's electric. It's comes out of his hand. He's a little bit older. I think John's 23. But I think you're going to see him at Jersey Shore this year. I mean, and if you remember Ramon Rosso, how he went up the system really quick. It reminds me of that, you know, type of rise capability. He has a slider too that's pretty nasty. So he's a two pitch guy, definitely be a reliever. But he's a kid I think could jump up the ladder quickly.
Well, I mean, look at like the Astros signed Framber Valdez when he was 21 for 10,000. So while the number of players that sign at age 21 for $10,000 and go on to win World Series games is a relatively short list. It might be just Framber Valdez. Mm-hmm. you never know. And that's a great nugget. That's awesome. I'm going to mark down.
Even our own Rangers Flores, he spent 3 years in Venezuela. They didn't know what they had, and then they developed, and now you have a number three starter at the least, and a guy that's got ice water in his veins.
It's pretty crazy because you have him and Sir Anthony Dominguez, and those are two guys that have been in the system for a while, and they were relatively inexpensive international signees. The Phillies had Edgar Garcia. They've had a few Edgar Garcias, but there was a pitcher, Edgar Garcia. Yeah. And then he was traded for Alvarado. So, you mine a few of these guys and you turn them into either big league pieces for you, or you convert them into big league pieces via the trade market.
I'd be remiss if I didn't tell you at least one more. I think you're going to see in Jersey Shore this summer. He's coming back from shoulder surgery. So I'm in the fall really excited about him. Edwar Segovia. He's a 21-year-old. They changed his motion. He's dropped down his slot a little bit. So he's a lower slot to protect his shoulder. Crossfire guy like Jake Arrieta used to be. Mm-hmm. And he was bringing it this fall last time I saw him. Really pleasant kid, grins ear to ear. I think when he's ready to go, I think you'll get him up there. And he's a starter. And I he's a kid that I think can break out this year and do really, really well.
I wanted to ask you about a guy named Jake McKenna, because he's from about an hour from here. When he got drafted, when he signed as a free agent, it was the 2020 COVID years. It was only a 5-round draft. And he signed as a free agent. I talked to him. Awesome young man, and seems like a really cool guy, and rooting for him. I know he's had some injury problems, and hopefully he gets the Clearwater and has a good year in 23.
Yeah, Jake went on the restricted list last year. He's good friends with Corey Phelan. So yeah. Last summer was a tough summer for him, but I did chat with him recently. He's working out again, and he expects to be back in spring camp. Jake's another power arm. He's a big left-hander. Hasn't had a lot of experience because of injuries and just other things, but he'll be back this summer. I have seen him throw in a couple times. He's another guy to reach mid-90s, and it's a matter of reeling in command and control again with him, but the stuff is there to certainly advance in the system.
And then another guy I thought was interesting was an Italian, because you don't see too many of them either. Samuel Aldighieri, who's from Verona, Italy. And I know the Phillies have Vito Frisia, who's from Long Island, but he plays for Team Italy in some international events. And I haven't seen if he's going to go play for them in the World Baseball Classic. Hopefully he does. And he's on their roster. I know Italy did qualify. What have you seen from Samuel, who's 21 years old, but obviously a 21-year-old that grew up in Italy is different than a 21-year-old that grew up in the U.S. where you have a much bigger base of baseball.
Sammy's a classic lefty. He was injured last year, so he spent a lot of time at the complex. We did get to see him near the end of the summer and a couple FCL games. I think he'll probably break camp with Clearwater. I did chat with him. He's healthy again. Sammy, a fastball, curve, slider, and changeup. So he's a starter. He's not a hard tosser, but he can probably get 94 at this point. Probably a little bit more there as he develops. But really good kid. I remember the first time we saw him. His parents were with him. He's sitting in the stands and sitting by himself. And if you remember our buddy Ben Brown, who was the most
– sure.
The greatest teammate in the Philly system when he was here. I told Ben, I said, that kid, somebody needs to go over and say hello. So Ben went over and tried to talk with him, and Sammy didn't speak a word of English. But Ben made the effort to be that teammate that reached out and welcomed him. So I always thought that, Ben's going to do well in Major League Baseball, but Ben's a genuinely nice person as well.
So, when we had Preston on a couple weeks ago, I asked him, I said, hey, give me another guy that we haven't talked about in the system that you really like. And he said, Ben Brown. I said, I know he got traded, but I got to give a shout out to Ben Brown. I just love Ben Brown, and disappointed that we traded him, but happy for him. And, you know, he didn't mean it as a knock on anybody else in the system. He genuinely likes Ben Brown. I mean, anybody who's met him, you can't not, you know.
Yeah, Ben's just a really good person. And you know, so was Logan O'Hoppe. I mean, the kids from Long Island that was signed as a group. But Ben was just, still is. Ben's going to do well.
Yeah, and he'll be in, I assume, Double-A with the Cubs in 2023. Who are some of the pitchers that have made that maybe came through Jersey Shore or even Lakewood now in the higher levels that you are fond of it as guys that maybe under the radar types that could be big league pieces like an Andrew Baker or an Andrew Schultz?
Well, Andrew Schultz and Brett Schultz, I think Schultz, as I get their names mixed up. But they're both right-handers that could get to the major leagues. Andrew Baker, you saw him, he can hit 101.
Yeah.
And I think he's even flashed 102. Andrew's been here, spent the winter down here, working out at the complex. Andrew Baker.
Andrew Baker guy, okay.
Yeah. So he's a kid that I think can make some headway. One of my favorites that you had in here there last year, Dominic Pipkin.
Yep.
I think Dominic is a big arm kid that's just looking to bust out. And he ended the season really well for you all. He's optimistic about heading into camp, looking for a spot in Reading, and I think he can get it. It's just a matter of him throwing strikes consistently. Ethan Lindau is a young left-hander that he's not a hard thrower, but he can knock a fly off your ear with his control if he wants to. You know, he's pinpoint control and spins the ball really well. There's got to be a room somewhere still in baseball for left-handers that can do that kind of stuff.
So, I would think so. And all he's done is get outs since 2019.
Yeah. At a bunch win. Of I mean, yeah. Usually when he pitches, a team wins. He's a really nice kid and. He can throw. I mean, he's not going to break any radar guns with speed, but he knows how to pitch.
I don't want to keep you forever. We'll touch on a couple of position players from Clearwater. The first one I'll mention started the year with Clearwater, finished it up here, and that's Haoyu Lee, who hit a few just absolute rockets. He's only 19. He's strong as an ox, and he is certainly a guy to keep an eye on. And people know who he is now, but I mean, he's a top 10 prospect in the system. But he is he's strong and he can hit.
Yeah, Haoyu's baseball IQ is off the charts. He, for a teenager, he's played a lot of international baseball. The energy he brings, even in practice, is he has fun. He's very energetic. He's very competitive, even. You know, in the fall instructs, they had, you know, some team games, and he really got into it and is a leader out there as well. He's a kid that you remember way back in the day. I'm going to date myself, but Placido Polanco.
Sure.
That I get that feeling of professional hitter when I watch Haoyu Lee. I mean, bat the ball skills are really good. And he puts the ball in play, and he can drive it. I mean, he's got the tools as a hitter. I think the intent is to keep him at shortstop for a little bit. He's been working out there, shortstop, second base, that in that mix. But yeah, he's a kid you'll have a lot of enjoyment watching. And he's a good ball player.
Yeah, I was his second week here, maybe even earlier than that. There were three members of the Taiwanese media who are based in New York and came down to do a story on him. And I was talking to one of them. They said he's a huge deal in Taiwan. He was like the biggest, he was like the best baseball player in Taiwan at age 12. And there were like national stories on him in the Taiwanese media. And as he grew up, that he has a big following, and that'll be a cool, international aspect to follow as he gets a little older. I know there was a catcher, Caleb Ricketts, was a seventh round pick this year from the University of San Diego, and he hit two or three home runs in his first week in Clearwater. He finished with three. I thought we might get a peek of him at the end of the season. They kept him in Florida. He'll be in the mix, I guess, for a spot with the Blue Claws this year. But a guy that came in out of the 2022 draft and made a really quick impact, left-handed hitting catcher.
Yeah, he's a good bat, left-handed hitter. They had a good draft this year for catchers. Caleb was in that mix. Jordan Disson, Gustavo Sosa, who are two youngsters that really can throw the baseball. They're a little more advanced than Caleb in throwing the baseball. And they went out and signed another young man, Ryan Leitch from Marshall, who can absolutely, he's got an Alfaro-type arm, like a rocket back there. But Caleb is a kid that I envision will probably be at Jersey Shore to break camp and maybe even be the starting catcher up there. And he's a very cerebral. He calls a good game. Guys seem to throw to him. We'll see how he goes, but he can definitely swing the bat, at least from initial action that we've seen him in.
Philly's had depth at catcher for a few years. You know, Rafael Marchand, Logan Ohapi, who's now with the Angels. They had Abraham Gutierrez, who they traded to the Pirates, and now they're, you know, kind of restocking it. Marchand is still there, and they have, you know, they have some other guys too. So that's been a strength of the system now for a little bit. Two guys that came up and played a lot for the Blue Claws at the end of the season, both missed a little time with injury, but were regulars when they were active and began there in Clearwater, were Kendall Simmons and Marcus Lee Seng. Marcus is an outfielder. Kendall is an infielder. Guys that have been in the system for a couple of years and seem like they're sitting on the doorstep of a breakthrough heading into 2023.
I think Kendall finished strong. I always like Kendall. I've never seen a guy turn on an inside high fastball like he does. The bat speed's tremendous. I think he's the only kid in the Philly system that can claim during a live BP hit home runs against both Zach Wheeler and Sir Anthony Dominguez. He did that down here in a live BP session. He's got tremendous hands and bat speed. It's just a matter of staying on the field, keep staying healthy and being more consistent. But the bat's there. He's a power hitter. I don't know if he's going to be an average hitter, but the bat's there to really break out. And he's the most delightful kid you ever want to meet. I mean, I think he's got a chance to break out next year. And Marcus Lee Seng is another one that's a very pleasant young man. The exit velocity when he hits the baseball is ranks amongst the top in the organization. He's a left-handed hitter, really good outfielder that can play center field in both corners. He came on near the end there, and I think he got injured near the end and missed some time, and I saw him over in fall instructs working his way back. But I think he should break camp with y'all. Leonardo Pineda is another one that's going to be up there, another left-handed hitter that can help.
Beautiful swing. He's got that classic pure lefty swing. Yeah, beautiful swing.
It's pure. I sit there and just watch those left guys from the left side. We lost a kid to the Cubs in the Rule 5 Jefferson in Encarnacion has that type of swing. But, you know, all those guys can run too. And that with the new rules of limited step-offs and throws to first, that's a big play in baseball that's going to come back. And even in particular in last year's draft, well, you saw Johan. You had Johan Rojas up there last year. But Yosuar Garcia is another kid that may eventually get to Jersey Shore this year and can fly. I forgot Cade Fergus is probably going to be on the opening day Jersey Shore roster. He's another speedster. The scout that signed him told me he was the best defensive center fielder in college baseball he saw last year.
George Washington.
I thought he was biased, but you know,
Kate
can, he's got wheels and he can hit a little bit. So I think he'll break camp with you.
Kate is from Florida, but he went to George Washington in DC. The Phillies drafted the future anchors of the Phillies 4x400 meter relay team with Justin Crawford and Amarian Boyd, right? So you've seen them, you've seen Johan Rojas. I think Rojas, actually, no, I'm confident in saying Rojas is the fastest player the Blue Claws have had since Roman Quinn. I don't want to say anybody's faster than Roman Quinn, but Rojas is close. how do these guys compare in straight line speed?
Crawford can fly. I mean, I think Crawford and Rojas would be a toss up. Marion's not too far behind in foot speed. And I'll tell Roman that you said that he'll enjoy that.
The coolest play I've ever seen here was, and this is before MILB TV that we had, before we had MILB TV, but Josh Norris from Baseball America, he might have been at the Tritonia at the time, but it was 2013, and Roman hit a ball up the gap in right center field here. And we have that, you know, the cutout where it used to be a bar, now there's the boardwalk out there. And he hit a ground ball out there, and he got around in like 13.9 or something for a clean inside the park home run. And you never see a clean inside the park home run. Usually, like, it takes a bounce, the outfielder slips, or something happens. No, this was a straight ball up the gap in right center. It's a double for most guys. It's a triple for the faster end, and he got a clean inside the park home run.
Yeah, Roman is unique in that way. I mean, Billy Hamilton might have given him a run for it, but Roman, no doubt, he's the quickest I've seen. I mean, that come through the system. Johan's notorious for, I've seen him hit balls that the center fielder lays back on, like a ground ball or a single, and he'll turn it into a double. He doesn't stop. Johan's a very aggressive baseball, aggressive hitter as well, but he's going to do well too. He'll be in big league camp because he's on the 40 this year.
Yo Svargard Garcia, they call him the drone, I guess, presumably because he tracks down everything in center field there.
Really quick. I mean, he's another kid that's really, really fast. He's excellent defender. I mean, he goes line to line on a lot of cases. And he's got some lower leg injuries the last couple of years that have sidelined him. But his technique isn't exactly the greatest. He just relies on speed as far as base stealing. But Coach Cathcart's been working with him. Once he gets technique, he's going to be something. He's another kid that he can hit it on the ground and turn it into a double. I mean, that's speed. Yeah, Coach Cathcart told me speed never has slumps.
Yep. Yeah, he's a good guy. He was up here a few times this year, Gary Cathcart. Really cool guy. Gabriel Rincones was a third-round pick this year. He'll be 22 by opening day. And his best tool, they say, is his hit tool, right?
Yeah, we saw Gabriel in a couple of batting practice sessions. He didn't get in game action. He has a shoulder problem that he's rehabbing from. But I think he's going to be healthy for the spring. But we did see him in a couple of regular BPs. And if you've been down to the complex, Roberts Field is the backfield, the furthest back, and yep, there's a Route 19 behind it in right field. He was hitting them up on the bank and beyond the tree line out there. I mean, crushing them in batting. It was just batting practice. And I tend not to get so excited about what I see in batting practice, but I had to tell him, had to approach him afterwards. I said, man, that was a show. And then he's another pleasant kid. And that bat can play if he can, adjust to the almighty equalizer, which is the off-speed pitch. But we'll see how he does.
Batting practice is batting practice, as you said. But if you see it in the same spot time and again, it provides a little context. And if nobody hits it out there, and he does, that says something.
And he's a left-handed swinger, left-handed bat. And again, we talked earlier about the pretty left-hand swing. He has that. I mean, he's a guy. He wasn't just the sessions that we saw. It wasn't just home run derby. I mean, he was able to drive the baseball the opposite ways. Because when they go through batting practice sessions, they have different pursuits in each round. So they'll tell them that they want to go left field, or they want to drive it up the middle. And he showed the capability in BP to be able to do that.
Jordan Viers was a third round pick, I think, the year prior, or maybe 2020. No, he 2020. How has he progressed, and is he ready to take that step forward this year?
Jordan is an anxious young man to prove he's a big leaguer. He had some injury problems this year as well, with his ankle and foot. very aggressive, plays with his hair on fire. He's a Bryce Harper type. Like, it's all out all the time. Quick hands, a left-handed batter, big power. It's just a matter of time and reps with him. He'll probably spend the year with the Clearwater Threshers, I would assume. As he's still a teenager, I think he's only 19 still. So, I mean,
he
hasn't had a lot of game action, but we like what we see. He's a power bat. Again, it'll be pitch recognition and just reps to see where he can go.
The Phillies have had a few guys from Australia. They've had, to my knowledge, one guy from New Zealand that's gotten to the Blue Claws, I should say. That's Kyle Glagoski. They have another one who might not be here till 2024. He's only 18. Nikau Puaka-Grego, who is playing for Tank in Australia right now in Adelaide. But a guy that he's another one. When you read your write up on him, it kind of pops out and say, hey, this is a guy to keep an eye on.
Another kid that it's along the lines of how you lead. He's a pure hitter. You can tell the way he swings the bat. He's had a lot of international play exposure with Team Australia. He was born in New Zealand, but he sometimes plays for Team Australia.
Yeah, Kyle played for Team Australia in an event this year too. Yeah. So I don't know. Yeah, some overlap there.
I told Nico and his mom and dad. I said he reminds me of Alec Bregman, the Astros. Yeah, has that kind of approach. Probably going to be a second baseman or a third baseman, but he can drive the baseball. He's not big in stature, but he's a kid that is anxious again to get into full season baseball. Might get that chance this year. He's still young. He's only 18.
He's 18.
So, but he might break camp with Clearwater. He is with the Adelaide roster. He's sitting back a little bit because he had some hamstring issues, but kid plays year round. I mean, he loves baseball and it comes through. Very popular teammate. Can't say enough about him. He's a kid. Yeah, I think you all will enjoy him when you get him up there. And he's one I can see that can definitely climb up the ladder.
You mentioned Kyle Glagoski. He got taken, for those that may have missed it, in the minor league portion of the Rule 5 draft a couple of weeks ago by the Cincinnati Reds. So sad to see him go. He's a great guy. But we'll be rooting for him, and he'll go to probably Pensacola, the Reds AA affiliate in 2023.
Yeah, I second that. Kyle's a good kid, and just had some injury setbacks in the 2020 year, lost year for everybody. Hurt them, and particularly guys that didn't have the opportunity to work out. I know Kyle didn't have that opportunity, but. See where he goes, and sometimes you go to a new organization, the Firelights, and you take.
Yeah, they give you a different opportunity. Somebody looks at it a little differently. There's a reason why they drafted him, so they've maybe seen something, a little tweak that might work, and hopefully it clicks for him. Yeah. By the end of the year, he was pitching really well. I didn't think he would finish the year here, but he did, and he was great.
Yeah, he threw well. I mean, the velo was down a little bit.
Yeah, that's right.
He's an example of a guy that can take. I'd be remiss to say, if I didn't mention Carlos De La Cruz and Baron Radcliffe, how they took off last year. I mean, those are guys that came out of nowhere for some people, and it clicked. And, Carlos went up to Reading and finished the year really well, and then went out to Arizona and had a good time out there. So, that's a kid we saw in the backfield way back when, and the power was evident, but the swing was long. He shortened it up this summer. And as did Barron, and the results started to pop out.
Barron credited, during the All-Star break, he went home to the Atlanta area for a couple of days, and he had a few BP sessions with his dad, and he came back guns blazing. From that point on, he was one of the five or so best hitters in the Sally League.
And sometimes it takes a little bit going back to roots, and sometimes I'm a proponent of analytics and data, and using that information to develop. But sometimes there's a little bit of an overload and you just have to go back to basics and that'll come through. But I think that's what happened with Barron, talked this pop and figured it out and came back and had a really good last, half of the year.
Carlos is one of the great development success stories of the Phillies. It won't get as much attention. Because he hasn't made the big leagues yet, but you're talking about a guy that was a non-drafted high school free agent in 2018 or 18, and he plays full season ball here in 2019 in low A, and he definitely showed flashes, but it's tough at times. He was very young and inexperienced. And now you're talking about a guy going into this coming year. He's a legitimate double A player. He can play anywhere you want in the outfield, and he can play first base. And he's 6'8", and he was wiry thin when he got in. So it was going to take a little while, add a little muscle to the frame. And, he's a big, tall, tall guy. You said he had a longer swing, and he has a huge strike zone to protect just because of how tall he is. Like compared to like how you lead, he's got his strike zone is literally 12 inches, essentially 12, 6, 12, 8, probably 8 inches bigger than that he's got to cover. So it was going to take a little time, and they've worked out with him a lot, and he's done an amazing job. He had a great year.
Yeah. And I think he touched upon it. He's a hard worker. He's a baseball rat. I mean, he likes loves the game, and, we saw him before. He came to Instructs for a little bit this fall before he went out to Arizona. We saw him. He's grinning ear to ear, congratulating him on his year. I told him he'd probably be the tallest first baseman I've ever seen. So he was taking ground balls at that time with Coach Everett to get acclimated to first base. But he's just another genuinely nice kid that you want to see exceed. And he has the skill set to do it. It's easy for me to sit here and say that their swings are long. It's much harder to apply. when the guy's popping 95 and it's also throwing the wrinkles of spinning the ball on you. And this game's not easy, and hitting's really, really hard. So, it's exciting to me because I get to know these guys a little bit when they take off. And I always send them notes afterward, good or bad, in their game performance, to keep them going.
You mentioned a few of the coordinators down there, Gary Cathcart and Adam Everett. Who are some of the coaches down there that that you've gotten to know and are fond of that fly under the radar that deserve a shout out?
Well, I think the pitching coordinator Travis Hergett does a really good job. I don't think he always gets a lot of recognition for that, but he's really very interactive, very open to the sky. Another guy that loves baseball, knows his stuff as far as pitching. It's not just an analytics approach. He also knows a guy that can sit there and watch and pick up on things, on release point, or if a guy's continually tipping, those are things that we'll discuss. And I just love talking baseball with him. He really knows the game. Bob Stumpo is another one, the catcher. Catcher. Greg Brzezinski, I'm sure you're very fond of him. Greg's always interactive and has done really well as AAA third base coach last year and has spent some time. But I get along with everybody. Jason Oakhart, who's now with the Red Sox, was always interactive to talk hitting. It's a pleasure for me to be able to see this and watch these games at the complex. A few years back, I actually got to stand next to Charlie Manuel, and we talked hitting. And that's incredible. I mean, that's an incredible experience to sit there. And the things that he sees and points out is and the stories he tells just make you sit there and giggle like a child in elementary school. But it's – they're all been very open and interactive. So it's been – I've been fortunate to be able to do what I do. And that's why I write and try to share it with people to tell them that, I think our system got knocked down as far as expectancies on a national level. But there's talent in the system, and there's talent and from the coaching side and the player side. And I think that was proven this year. We ended up with like 14 kids that made it to the major leagues this year. Something to that number.
Yeah. And obviously a lot of them made big impact, like a Connor Brogdon, who was a late round pick, senior signed from a NAIA school, Lewis and Clark State in Idaho, that has produced some guys, and they're one of the top NAIA schools in the country, but still, and it works his way slowly through the system and then clicks in. And by the end of the year, And he was great in the postseason. He had a bump at the end of the regular season, but he was great in the postseason. And he'll go into the year in a pretty good spot to be a sixth, seventh, eighth inning type for the Phillies. A guy that was just an under the radar sign. He didn't get a lot of signing bonus money, and he's just straight development success.
Yeah, Connor. I remember first time I met Connor was on the backfield. He was sitting on the bench back there watching a game, and it's very. Doesn't speak a lot, and not real vocal, but he has a real funny sense of humor when you get to dry sense of humor once you get to know him. And here's a guy that came through the system, developed a pitch as he went through the system. He developed that cutter that offsets the really outstanding changeup that he had, and he always threw hard. So he was a quick riser up through the system. And then, like you said, it's I do remember. Talking with a scout at one time when they went out, the gentleman got the call to go out and check him out, to cross-check him. And he's like, where's that at? Because he was on the phone. I happened to be sitting next to him. He didn't even know how to get to the school to go watch Connor. It turned out to be quite a signing.
That's awesome. Well, Steve, this was great. I appreciate a few minutes, almost an hour. Keep up the great work, and we urge everybody to go to Steve's website, PhilliesBaseballFan.com. Everything you want to know about literally every player in the Phillies minor league system. We covered a lot of them today, but there's so many more guys that you're going to see with the Blue Claws, guys that you already have seen with the Blue Claws. So, Steve, thank you so much. Keep up the great work and have a great holiday.
Thank you for having me. I do have to say now, I really enjoy you and Tony on MILB TV.
Oh, thank you.
This is God's honest truth. I actually sit every night. I have the Phillies on the main television. I have four iPads. I watch every feed. There is even a clear order feed that's not necessarily known publicly.
Oh, they pipe you in, the secret feed? That's good. So
I watch everything, and my nightly write-ups are based on actual observations, but I get a kick out of the banter you two have, and you guys do a really great job there with the broadcast.
Well, thank you, Steve. I appreciate it. Have a great day. Have a great holiday.
You too.
Thanks to Steve for joining us. He did an amazing job, and I hope you learned something. I know I did about a lot of these players that will be with the Blue Claws over the next year or so. So that was great. Certainly bookmark that, and we will we'll reference that as these guys come through the Blue Claws in 2023. Just some other Blue Claws notes before we say goodbye. Marvel Holiday Package has been selling very well. $575 value for just $165. You get a Blue Claws mini plan. You get a Marvel hat. You get a Marvel hoodie, Blue Claws Marvel logo. Plus, you get a Blue Claws 20 of the season fleece blanket, a Medusa's Day Jersey Shore knit scarf, and a choice of two experiences as well. Go to blueclaws.com for more on that. If you want to order from the Claws Cove to ensure Christmas delivery, time running out to do that. Get that one in by Friday today, or maybe even the weekend. Sneak in. But if you want to order merchandise from the Claws Cove to ensure Christmas delivery, you're going to want to order that ASAP. Saturday is Wreaths Across America Day. Nationally, they'll lay hundreds of thousands of wreaths at gravesites of veterans around Arlington National Cemetery, but then also at cemeteries all over the country. Blue Claws will have staff participating in that this week as well. The Blue Claws have a special Wreaths Across America ticket package. For $15, you'll sponsor a wreath that will be laid at the gravestone of a veteran, and you get one donated ticket for a veteran for Military Appreciation Night on July 6th in 2023. Option B, you get the wreath, the donated ticket, and a ticket for yourself for the game for just $25 for Military Appreciation Night in 2023. BlueClaws.com, and click the Wreaths Across America button there right on the homepage for more information on that. It's a great program. And the Blue Claws are proud to partner with Wreaths Across America. And again, Saturday is Wreaths Across America Day. If you donate a sponsor a wreath through this package, it'll be laid at the gravesite of a veteran at the Jersey Shore on Wreaths Across America Day in 2024, which is the third Saturday of December. So
Blue Claws offices will be open through next Friday. So if you want to buy Blue Claws tickets or merchandise for holiday gifts, you can do so. BlueClaws.com for more on that. Or you can go to the Claws Cove directly at BlueClaws.com/shop. Order online this weekend, but there will be somebody here next week for you. You can come pick up some merchandise for Christmas coming up a week from Sunday. Over the holiday break, we're going to run a best of episode where we're going to have selected clips from some of our favorite interviews that we did throughout 2023 or 2022. And then hopefully we'll get some more episodes up early in January, maybe even one more late December with an interview. But we're going to have the best of episode for you. That'll show up in your feeds during the holiday break. So that's it for us here. Thanks to Steve Potter. Fantastic. And we can't wait for opening night here at the Jersey Shore, April 11th. And we're going to see a lot of those guys that we talked about with Steve earlier today. His website is philliesbaseballfan.com. I'm Greg Giamborisi. Have a great weekend, everybody. Have a safe, happy, healthy holiday season. Go Blue Claws. See you April 11th. And thanks for listening to Hook, Line, and Splitter at Jersey Shore Blue Claws Podcast.